lovely to be here. I wasn't sure if there was some strange tradition or ritual in Trinity. We had to move seats. There was some of a blessing in this seat that Brian was on, and then I realised why when he put the poppy up. So that relieved me a wee bit of what was going on. For those who don't know me, and there's probably quite a number don't, my name is Neil Harkness. I come from the Mount Davies Road, just literally, what, a mile and a half, 2 miles towards Cullibackie. I'm just on the other side of the cross, so we fall into the Cullibackie parish, or whatever you would call it, and not the Ahochle one. But Trinity is, I guess, special to my family. It was in this church that my mum trusted in Jesus Christ as her saviour through the ministry of the Reverend Fleming many, many years ago, and links with the Lynn family. So in a way, coming here, although I never grew up in the church, I never grew up in Ahochle, I feel, yeah, when you compare Sweden, Gothenburg, you feel as though you're home when you're in Ahochle, so it's nice to be here. I just want to share with you, I'll not really be preaching much this morning, but I want to share something of the work of Child Evangelism Fellowship, and I hope this clicker works, and it does, brilliant, thank you, Alistair. There's a video clip in here somewhere, and I tried it last Sunday night in Resharkin Presbytery, and it didn't work, so we'll see if it works today. But I work with Child Evangelism Fellowship, or CEF, as it's known for shorten, in the country of Sweden, up in Scandinavia. And you might say, how on earth did you ever arrive in Scandinavia? Well, I became a Christian when I was 22 years of age, and God began to lay mission on my heart right from day one almost. And my church was supporting missionaries in Africa, in Brazil, and in India. But for some reason, when I thought of mission, I couldn't get away from thinking about Europe. And mainland Europe was always coming up in my mind. And I remember reading this, it was a wee article from Revival Movement Association in June 20, 2007, and it was about Europe being a forgotten mission field. And it's probably not the place we most traditionally think of as mission, because there's not a lot of physical need. And maybe our hearts are stirred when we see physical need and children in orphanages and poverty. And many of the cities in Europe, and certainly in Sweden, don't have that. But there's another need, and it's for the gospel. There's a spiritual need, a famine there for the gospel. But God began to lay Europe on my mind, and I couldn't really understand how or why. In the autumn of 2007, I went to this place in Switzerland, up in the hills, beautiful place, cowbells ringing in the morning, going past your window. And I was training there for 3 months with Child Evangelism Fellowship and planning to come back home to Northern Ireland. But when I was there, every day they prayed for different countries of Europe. And one day they came to pray for the country of Sweden. And they had no workers in Sweden, and it was one of their target countries, and they were looking to develop a work there. I had been in Sweden in 2004. It wasn't in mission, it was actually with car rallying. My dad used to rally cars, and I had been up there watching car rallying. But I had this growing interest in Scandinavia. At the same time, there was a lady, that lady standing translating for me is a lady called Christina, and Christina is Swedish, and she's from Gothenburg. And Christina was working as a volunteer in the place called Kilsimmer. And I began to talk to her about Sweden, and she invited me in 2008 to come over and to visit the country of Sweden. And little by little, God began to lay Sweden more on my heart. So I moved in June 2010 to the city of Gothenburg. You see it highlighted there. It's not so far up. People were asking me this morning, is it really cold there? It's not so far. It's the same latitude as Aberdeen. So you're not really so high. Minus 12 would maybe be the coldest, minus 15. But certainly when you go up into Lapland, as they talk about, you're up into minus 40, etc. Gothenburg's a seaport, beautiful city, but 900,000 people. It's the old industrial capital of Sweden. That's where all the shipbuilding took place. It's the home of Volvo. If you know anything about bearings and belts, it's the home of SKF. Bearings, but that's my home and has been home for the last 6.5 years almost. If you want to escape and if you want to go into wilderness, you come to Sweden. It's just beautiful. That's up in the very north, mountains, lakes, and trees. You come down into the middle, you've got trees. You keep going further, you've got lakes and trees. So basically all you have in Sweden is lakes and trees, with a few people scattered here and there. 9 million people. It's the fourth largest country geographically in Europe. So lots and lots of open space. One in three people in Sweden apparently have a boat because there's so much water about. But what do you do when you move from Kullaberg to Sweden, trying to develop a work for a mission and realizing that you're not really a pioneer? And I realized that even before I went, and if I wasn't convinced of it, I'm convinced of it even now. And that's why I read those verses today. Because, folks, over the last 6 years, I think God has shown me more and more that it's not about Neil Harkness, but it's all about him. God showed me, like he showed Paul in chapter 1 of Corinthians, that he chooses the foolish things of the world and the weak things of the world. And he does that so that he would get the glory. I'm still struggling with the Swedish language. I can try and speak it a bit. I've maybe shared before, they talk about a hus instead of a house. They talk about a stain instead of a stone. So when you come from Antrim, you can sort of understand that a wee bit. There's a few other words that you have to pick up along with that. You can't talk about houses and stains all the time. But God has been good to me. I left Kullaberg High School at 16 with a few GCSEs. I got an F in my French because I wasn't linguistic and I'm trying to learn Swedish. And it is all by his grace. But one of the things God laid in my heart was just to make connections with people and just to build relationships and get to know people. And that's really what I've been doing for the past 6 years, and especially for the first 3 years, was just getting to know people. Swedes are a wee bit reserved on it. You get into a shop, they'll not just maybe chat to you as openly as they would maybe down the street in Ballymena or a Hochul. But they're a nice people. They're a very genuine people. They say it takes a long time to get a Swedish friend, but once you get one, you have one for life. And that's certainly very true. So I've been trying to get to know the people in this picture. It's a little congregation in a northern suburb of Gothenburg called Sandeslats Christian Fellowship. And that is the church that I was introduced to when I arrived. And it's the church I've been with ever since. Just an independent fellowship and just really trying to serve and get alongside those people and build relationships with them. What we needed as a mission was to be officially recognized in the country, to be an official organization. And 3 years ago, this group of people came together, and this is what we call our national board, or our trust board of trustees of CEF in Sweden. And we have now formed an organization. It's called CEF Sverige, Barn och Tro. CEF Sweden, Child Evangelism Fellowship Sweden, Children and Faith. And 3 years ago in November 2013, we were registered as this official organization. That means you can, simple things, you can get bank accounts, you can get post office boxes, you can go to conferences, you have this organization number. It's maybe not a lot of evangelism in it, but it's basically sort of foundational work. And then what we've been trying to do is trying to meet with people. And again, just a confirmation that it's God's work. And that's what Paul said. It is God who gives the growth. I arrived in June 2010 knowing one lady. And in April 2011, I got a phone call from a guy called Michelle Rodin. And we chatted a little bit on the phone. He called me again later on that year. We chatted again. And I sensed that there was something, God was doing something in this man's life. So I went up to meet him. He lives 3 hours north of me. And I sat and I listened to his story. He grew up in an atheist family. He didn't believe in God. He went to a university to learn to do animation. He wanted to be a cartoon producer for the likes of Disney. And there at that school, there was a girl who had a little cross on her desk. And she was a Christian. And he made it his goal that by the end of his 4 years of education, that he would convince her that there was no God. But the opposite happened. By the end of those 4 years, Michelle had become a Christian. And he's now married to that girl who had the cross at her desk. And they got involved in working for television companies making cartoon programs. But as they were doing that, they sensed a growing concern in their lives that they were using their gifts, their ability that God had given them, just to make money. And they really wanted to share the truth of the Bible and the gospel with children. And they started to look for organizations or people that they could work with to do that using animation, and they couldn't find anyone. In 2010, in the beginning of 2010, their pastor went to Africa to a mission that they supported. And he was walking one day in a market in Africa, I think it was in Ethiopia, and he saw these picture books of Bible pictures, and he bought them. He brought them back to Sweden thinking these might be helpful for Michelle and Naomi, and they were from CEF. Some CEF worker in Africa was selling these pictures. They had never heard of CEF before. They contacted them in Kilsimmer and said, "What are you? What do you do?" And they said, "We just have a guy who's arrived in Sweden. Maybe you should make contact with him." And God brought us together, and Michelle and Naomi Rodin have been one of the foundations of building the work of CEF in Sweden. And I didn't really do anything. All I did was talk to him on the phone and go and visit him. But it just convinced me that God was working. God was bringing the people together. They've been responsible for putting WonderSurf. It's a website that we have in English for children. They've had now that in Swedish. And they've just been great in finding these people for the national board. I didn't know Christians in Sweden, but this couple did. They went down to Kilsimmer in 2012 and did some training. They're now back in Sweden, not working full-time with CEF. They want to still keep this little company that they have, but they help us, if you say, on a freelance basis, just to work away there. Other two girls who have come into the work, the girl on this side of the picture, I was going to say the one in black, but they're both in black. The one with the lighter skin, she is from Germany, but her mum is from Sweden. And she worked with CEF in the city of Munich. And 2 years ago, she came up to visit for 3 months to work a little bit in the work in Sweden. And God put it in her heart that maybe she should stay and work full time. So she came last October into the work of CEF full time. But the German board said she had to work with a female co-worker. And that was very, very wise. We didn't have anyone. And we were praying, "God, can you please somehow provide a female co-worker for Judith?" And because of a bus that was being built up the road in the Hochel here and going to Estonia, which I'll tell you a little bit about later, we got contact with this other girl called Ingrid, who's originally from Estonia, but she's been living in Stockholm for 10 years working as a preschool teacher. She heard that CEF was now in Sweden. She made contact with us, and then in summer 2015, she went down and did some training with CEF in Switzerland. And she's now back working 4 days a week as a preschool teacher and one day a week with CEF, and she is Judith's co-worker, and God brought these things together. And lastly, just the last person who has come into the picture just quite recently is the girl in the white coat. The couple, the older couple in the green and the scarf, is Roy and Ruth Harrison, who are the area directors for Northern Europe for CEF, and the other couple are her parents. And this girl, Rebecca, is very gifted as a translator, and we've been praying for a number of years that God would give us someone who could translate materials from English into Swedish, and just we made contact with her last year. She trained this summer again in Switzerland and is now applying to come into the work full-time as a translator. I'm very, very thankful today for these people that God is bringing into the work. And I do say, as I said before, it is God who gives the growth. It's not man, and it's God's work. Another, that's just a map of basically where they are. I don't know which one. This is just above Gothenburg, this girl lives. You have 3 hours north to Karlstad. You have 5 hours over to Stockholm. 80% of the population of Sweden live in this bottom third, and the rest of this is only the other 20%. It's a big distance to travel, but we're trying through the likes of FaceTime, Skype, going over every month. I try to go to Stockholm once a month and visit the girls, and up to Karlstad and visit this other couple once a month as well. A little bit about partnerships, and again, just working together. Paul said there in verse 9 of that 1 Corinthians chapter 3, for we are God's fellow workers. You don't need me to know that Paul uses the illustration of God bringing Christians into a body to be part of it. We're not lone rangers, as it were. The hand can't just function as a hand. It needs the wrist, it needs the elbow, it needs the joints, it needs the sinews, it needs the shoulder. And I've been more and more convinced that God works together and brings his people together. Some partnerships, the little fellowship I go to, Sandestad's Christian Fellowship, brilliant. They have a flat in the area I live. I needed an office to work from. I was working from home. I was living on my own. I was working on my own. And I thought my head was going to go. And I had no farm to go out to drive a tractor just to get release. That's what I used to do, just to get away. And they graciously gave me an old wash house. We made it into an office. Some of the men from the church were there helping me with that. And through that fellowship, through building relationships, we were able to have some Easter clubs in that little apartment, bringing boys and girls together just for five-day clubs at Easter. We were doing the Wordless Book. Through that, they developed into summer clubs, into sports halls. We got the end of a sports hall of a local school, and we were bringing the kids together there. 85% of that area I live in is immigrant, and 50% of it's Muslim. And it's been a real eye-opener for me, meeting children, boys and girls, parents from all over the world, and yet they all have the same need. They all laugh the same, they all enjoy the same games, and they all need the gospel, and they all need Jesus Christ as their Savior, no matter what background they're coming from. I often say, what I've been doing in Sweden is no different than what you probably do here in a Hochul, and that's true. It's just more or less the same thing in a different place. And as I was a young Christian reading missionary biographies and reading about people, I had this view in my mind that missionaries were some special breed of supernatural people, and I realize now they're not. They're just ordinary people just serving God wherever God wants them to be. So that's what we're doing. That has led into some little good news clubs. CEF like to have these good news clubs, preferably in people's homes. This is a lady from the church who had her apartment, and she opened up her apartment for the boys and girls in the local community. She's a grandmother. Her grandkids came, and that brought others with them as well. Again, just seeking to reach out. The Lutheran Church is the, how would you say, it was the state church of Sweden up to the year 2000, but then in 2000, the church and the state broke away. But it still would be classed as the strongest denomination. I don't know if you know much about Martin Luther, but you'll probably hear a wee bit about him next year, because it's the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, where he nailed his 95 theses there to the door in Wittenberg. And sadly, to celebrate the entrance of the 500th year of the Reformation, the Lutheran Church, back 2 weeks ago there in October, decided, what do we do to welcome this 500th year of the Reformation coming in? And they invited the Pope to come and to have fellowship with them in Lund at their theological college. And that maybe shows something of where the church is, that somehow they're trying to bring things together that Martin Luther was trying to expose 500 years ago. But there are groups of people within the Lutheran Church who are evangelical. Praise God for that. And there's a little mission called the Evangelical Lutheran Mission. That's what ELM stands for. And what they do is they stay within the church, but they try to organize events throughout the year to bring people together for Bible teaching and for fellowship. And this is a camp that they have in the south of Sweden. ELM Sud is basically ELM South. And they put up caravans. They bring them. There's 350 to 400 people. And they've a lot of children, and they didn't have a children's program. And they asked this couple, Michelle and Naomi, who I know, if we would go down and do the children's program. So for the 2 years now, we've been down there in the south of Sweden at this camp doing the children's program for the boys and girls there. And I maybe show this picture in the midweek before. You have to take your shoes off. You come into a house in Sweden, you can't go in with your shoes on. So in the door they come, and there's a bit of duct taped on the floor there. And all the shoes have to go off, that's fine, but getting them on again is a hassle. And I don't know, they love Crocs and they love pink Crocs. So you have a whole pairs of these pink Crocs. But I just often look at that picture and just think every pair of shoes represents a soul, represents a life of a child. And yeah, just be great if you could pray for those children that those shoes represent. Torchbearers, I'm not sure if you've heard of that organization. You may have heard of a man called Major Ian Thomas. He was a major in the British Army. And when they left the army, he had a burden to start a Bible schools for young people. Probably the most famous one, and the first one was Capenry Hall in England, still going today. Torchbearers have now a little Bible school in Sweden. And Major Ian Thomas's grandson, Luke Thomas, is the principal there. And I've been over a few times trying to get to know them. And Luke and his wife, Cheryl, have four children, live in a little village with about 500 people. And they wanted to reach out to the boys and girls around the village. And they said, if we organized a five-day club, brought the friends of our children, would you come and then teach? And Judith, the girl that I showed you from Germany, she was there this summer teaching in this five-day club, reaching out. 35 children coming because they know families. And I'm often convinced of that. And you'll know it yourself. Often maybe you go around knocking doors or inviting people to meetings and they don't know you. And they probably don't come. But if you know someone, if you're friends with someone, if you've made personal contact with people, if they trust you, there's a greater likelihood that they will come. And that's exactly what happened here. Families knew this family. The family's been living there for 4 years. They've trusted them. They allowed their children to come to a five-day club this summer. Revival Movement Association, or Every Home Crusade, as they were commonly known, have a great partnership with CEF. They print our material for us for free. And just recently, we translated a little book called Every Day with God, Varje dag med Gud. It's a little daily devotional book, 30 days devotions, very, very simple to try and get children to reading the Bible every day. You know yourself, if you're a Christian, that you need to grow. You need food. Paul talks about the milk of the word here. And we want children to be able to grow every day in their relationship with God. And through Revival Movement, printing and shipping these books and material, we have something to give out to the boys and girls there in Sweden. Those countries that you see in green, that's what we call CEF of Northwest Europe. You have Iceland, Norway, Sweden, Denmark, Finland, Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. Part of the world I knew nothing about before, all basically around the Baltic Sea, and yet a part of the world that God has put in my heart. And I try to help out other countries. I think in Ireland, there's maybe about 70 plus CEF workers. And in that whole area of what's highlighted up there, there's only about 22 CEF workers in those countries. And we have to try and work together. We come together for conferences to try and encourage each other. And I travel a wee bit. I love driving. So there's plenty of opportunities to drive. And every summer I go up to Norway, go to a place called Lapland. You ever heard of Lapland, have you? Anybody famous lives up there or is meant to live up in Lapland? Well, I've been up now for 4 years and I haven't saw them yet. But what I do see up there is a little camp center on the edge of a fjord. And when you go straight out the front of the fjord, you're going directly north, and the next stop's the North Pole. It's up beside the North Cape, the northernmost point in Europe. It's about stepping 30 years back in time, but it's lovely. It's very simple. The farmer comes in the week before with his double-chop harvester, and he cuts the grass, and that's the football pitch. And by the end of the camp, you would need him back in again. The grass grows quick up there because there's no night time. 24-hour sun. The children come together, basically from that area of Lapland, called Finnmark. Ida Johnson's the CEF worker up there, and Ida has asked me to come up these past years and to help there with the boys and girls. That's the sun shining at 12 o'clock at night. No night time. Huh? Wonderful, isn't it? It's hard to sleep. But it's good. It's been a real experience, a real joy to be able to minister up in Norwegian Lapland. And that's some of the kids there were at camp last year. Another country that I've been going to a little bit is the country of Estonia. Again, I knew very little about Estonia. It's one of the former Soviet countries that has progressed most after the fall of communism. And we try, as I say, to bring these countries together. In November 2014, we had a conference in Sweden that was all to do with the internet. And this young girl in the picture, she's called Christy. Her husband's called Silver. And they were sharing, every night we were sharing about her work. And one night she was sharing about the work in southeast Estonia, down along the Russian border, where it's mostly Russian Orthodox. And she was sharing again about going out and doing five-day clubs with the boys and girls in the summertime. But then God laid in her heart that she couldn't leave these children until the next summer. What could she do for them? Could she go round once a month or once a week and try and have like a continual good news club? And she tried to get permission from the Orthodox Church to use their buildings, to use the schools, but she couldn't get permission. And she was wondering, what do I do? And her husband, he builds chimney places or fire breaths. And he had a van. He's thinking, what was the idea? Sure, we could clear the van out and we could build wee forms and we could put the boys and girls into the back of the van and we could have these children's clubs and a work van. That seemed to work, but it's probably not the most ideal situation, especially if you think of child protection and things. But she was sharing about this, and she shared that her husband had a bus license and they would love that somehow maybe God could give them some sort of vehicle. And I don't know, God just put it in my heart. And I come home at Christmas 2014 and I talked to my dad, who used to work at lorries and buses. We knew a fella who worked up on TransLink, and he showed us a bus that was going to Hamels for scrap. So it was going up the road here to be scrapped. And they said, if you give us the scrap value for the bus, it's yours. So we bought it for £1,800 and we took it to a workshop of a friend over at Loch Magari. And 5 months later, they had it made into a mobile classroom and put a wee kitchen in it, toilet in it, and we took it over to Estonia in May 2015 with help from many, many people and even people in this building this morning. And that bus has been going around Estonia for the last year, southeast Estonia, sharing the gospel with boys and girls. And this is where the wee video clip comes in, just to let you see something of that. So I hope it works. If it doesn't, Alistair, there's an extra file on that memory stick. It's not going to work, I don't think. It won't be possible to play it direct from the memory stick. This is where we all go silent. We don't know what to talk about. I'll talk a wee bit and then we'll see if we can get it going. It's been a great encouragement, that wee project. I didn't really do much about it. It was a lot of men from my home church and the same men from the area here, and we got a lot of help. And just encouraging to see people. A lot of the people worked on it wouldn't be platform men. And yet I showed this video clip the other night in the meeting, and some of the men were there, and men who I don't really know. Well, here's music anyway. I've got music, but no visual. Right, I'll keep talking. And I just saw some of them, and some of the men were crying. From July 2015 until this May, they reached 300 children through the ministry of the bus, and 75 children have made profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was really encouraging for some of those guys just to see that there was something, they could have a little impact in the land of Estonia over there in northwest Europe. But listen, no worries, guys. Don't worry, it's my fault. I'm inserting video clips and things and probably not doing it the right way. If it's possible to get back to PowerPoint, that would be great. Yeah, so a little bit of work in Sweden, a little bit of work in Norway, a little bit of work in Estonia. But I just want, just as we close, I just come back again to Sweden. Very thankful for God calling me there. Over the past year, I have become, year and a half, I've become a little unsettled in the work of CEF. And I've been thinking upon 1 Corinthians 13, where Paul says that he went to lay a foundation and then others would come and build upon that. And over the past, number of months, I've sensed that maybe my time is coming to a close with CEF in the country of Sweden. I'm not sure exactly yet what I'm going to be doing. There's a number of options about staying in Sweden and doing other things. But I'm very thankful for the past 6 years. It has been hard. I didn't realize how hard it would be going as a single person. I certainly would encourage mission. It's a wonderful thing to serve God. But if anybody single is thinking of going on mission, I would just say, just be careful about it. Make sure that God is doing a work with a team or with other people. I never knew what loneliness was like until I went to Sweden. And it's a terrible thing. I'm not saying this morning that you'll feel sorry for me. Please don't do that. But it can become a paralyzing thing. And yes, you know that God is with you. But just that sense of God having brought you into a body, into a team to work with other people. And I'm very thankful for this little fellowship in Sandeslat. They've been such a blessing and encouragement to me. And such a blessing to serve through the local church. And I'm more convinced, if ever I was, of the ministry of the local church and God working through that as his catalyst to reach the world. We go out every week onto the square. Lots of Muslims, lots of immigrant people. We go out with Gospels of John, with tracts, with DVDs, basically to meet the people. The men love to sit around and drink coffee. A lot of them don't work. They can't speak Swedish. And we go out there and basically try to share the gospel with them in the grace of God. We've been praying for the Somalian community. Quite a lot of Somalian people with us. They're a very hard group of people to reach. I've got a wee flat and I try to bring people in. We get testimonies, get DVDs. Sometimes if you tell someone, would you want to come and watch a film, watch somebody's story, they'll want to come and do that. So we've had a number of these film evenings just to try to reach into the lives of these Muslim people and immigrant people. Met this young man here from Bolivia with his two girls. He came to Sweden to buy trucks, end up getting married, end up coming to be the caretaker of the building we use on a Sunday morning. Started to come a little bit, put out the chairs, and he would have sat for a little while, and then he went away. And little by little, Reuben stayed every Sunday. And just to see God working in Reuben's life, to see a man now who loves God, to see a man who wants to bring his children to Sunday school. The children are coming and they're learning Bible verses. And we're going home and they're sharing their Bible verse with their grandfather who's an atheist. Reuben's wife hasn't yet trusted in Christ. We're praying for her. Her name's Wara. The last story I want to tell you is a young Somalian guy called Abdi Samad. We've been praying for this Somalian community. And back in the summer, this young man, we didn't know him. He was watching YouTube and he came across videos or video clips of Somalian believers who trusted in Christ. And he contacted these people in Nottingham in England. And through Skype, they led him to Christ. They wanted to put him into a local fellowship in Gothenburg. And through a whole list of communication with different people across Sweden, we ended up making contact with him. And he came on a Sunday morning, we were going through the book of Zechariah, and this young man has no knowledge of the Bible. We asked him if he'd like to come on a Thursday night to start going through Mark's Gospel. We started the first week in September to go through Mark's Gospel. And I can honestly say in my 6 years in Sweden, it's been one of my highlights. To sit on a Thursday night with the best way I can describe him, he's just a sponge. And he's just hungry for the Bible. We talked one week about John the Baptist. We talked about baptism. And he couldn't understand this. We talked about it again. He couldn't understand it. And we couldn't figure out what was wrong. And at the end of the day, he came to us. He says, the couple who led me to Christ told me that whenever I had Jesus, I had everything. And I didn't need anything else. and now you're telling me about this baptism. And maybe that's where the Baptists are going wrong sometimes. But you sat and you think, he's grasped it. Whenever I have Jesus, I have everything. And he's only 16. And he's coming from Somalia. His parents died in Somalia. He came as a refugee. And he's sitting the Thursday night with a young man like that. It's just been a pleasure opening up God's word and sharing it with God's people. I trust that gives you a little glimpse of what life's like in Sweden. I would value your prayers. If I should come to you, man, I would value your prayers just over the next months that God would lead me and guide me clearly. But I'm so thankful for God's work done in God's way. And in many ways, I've just been there to watch God work.